Now, we were hoping to have someone to talk to about these films and this event, but having actually had a look at them, and you, Matthew, you looked at one of them.
I watched the one set in Willeen where it was a...
Utilising dingoes as a management tool, which is sort of fascinating because both of these films, they're short, but they're good kick-off points for the panel discussion that's going to happen next on the night, which is on the 14th, Friday, August the 14th at St Kilda Town Hall. What's really important about the dingo and these two films is that they're explaining to us what the focus, what dingo's role is as part of the ecological chain in Australia, and the obsession that Europeans have of shooting dogs to protect their flocks has brought the dingo to its knees. The government actually pays people to bait. They chuck baits down from helicopters across the landscape to kill dingoes. The problem is that as the guy, David Pollock's going to be there, he's come all the way from Willeen and he's going to be, that's in Western Australia. So we're getting voices from a Western Australian pastoralist and we're getting voices from Indigenous people who have, as the film says, we're totem people. And they do this thing which is so remarkable to a European. They talk about our countrymen, the dingo, the countrymen. They don't separate their humanness from the general animal world. We're not special. We are part of the landscape just like the dingo. And they grieve for they're fighting for the dingo and the importance of the dingo to the landscape. The pastoralist does too. He gives this film is absolutely riveting, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's really, really well shot. And I'll say that watching David Pollock is a very, he's a very eloquent advocate for this approach. And I was shocked. Well, I actually, after watching the film, I actually went to the website for Land Owners for Dingoes, and I was shocked to find out just how the extent of poisoning of dingoes, and it's only...
They pay people to do it.
They pay people to do it, yeah.
And he talks about how he has to pay a levy for not doing what they consider to be his oar to get rid of dingoes.
I think, I recall it was about $15,000 he had to pay.
Yeah. Even though the dingoes has helped to regenerate the whole land that had become barren because it was losing its integrity because of the he's got a funny way of calling it the it wasn't unlicensed grazers, but goats and things like that were actually destroying the landscape. The ancient landscape, which is, of course, Australia, the integrity of the soils and he explains that the goats will eat anything, and they eat all the trees along the gums along the river. That consequently causes the river to lose its structure, and it becomes a mud pond. And by the returning of the dingoes, they've now over time. The trees are coming back and the water is clear. Like it's a phenomenon. It's like Europeans need to go to school again and discover what country they're actually in.
Well, they're completely different ways of thinking. So we had a friend of the show, Maluma May, on Radio Phil F this weekend. Matthew and I weren't present, but she stayed at my house later and we were talking just about this thing and she spoke on the show about the intersection of climate crisis and the way that people exist on this country, and just how important it is to recognize, I guess, a place in a broader ecosystem. And this thing, like, she just fostered a dog with her partner, Birrigan, also a friend of the show, and they were calling him Countryman.
Yeah, so just Countryman.
Even a foster dog.
Isn't it beautiful? Yeah. Beautiful, beautiful.
So, yeah, the way that the hierarchy is structured doesn't remove people from the chain somehow outside of the ecosystem. It's really one with it. And I mean, we only have to see places like Maribyrnong River to see how riverbank erosion has impacted those floodplains, and how the Flemington Racecourse being concreted up has impacted the most disadvantaged.
It's interesting you mentioned Maribyrnong River, because I've got memories from my childhood, and my dad explained to me that at one point that whole area was nearby abattoirs, and they would release, you know, the waste. And there were reports that even somehow sharks made their way in because of I don't know whether true it is, but I've got memories of my dad actually telling me that. So,
But the level of disrespect for the natural environment, it's a killer, isn't it? Yeah. And it's going to be a literal killer. If you want to find out more about this, you should go to the St Kilda Town Hall on Friday, August the 14th, and be part of the panel and discussion. Absolutely fascinating films. It's an event that's been brought together by Defend the Wild and Dingo Culture, and they've teamed with the Dingo Conservancy.
Conservancy.
And the films are Moot Calling Dingo Back to Country and Landholders for Dingo's film Wooleen, Utilising Dingoes as a Management Tool. There's going to be David Pollock from Wooleen Station. There's going to be Sonia Gray, Grant from the founder and the National First Nations Dingo Coordinator for Dingo Culture, and cinematographer and ecosystem biologist Dr. Daniel Hunter. They're all going to be there, and you should be there too, because it's terribly important that we understand the country we live in and our part in saving it.
Hello, this is Malil Mamey from Bulagan, and you're listening to 3CR.